Yeah, I think so. We're good. Amen. Amen. Good morning again. Hey, let me open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll be back in John 15, right around verse 26. So we're going to spend some time talking, if you have not caught the theme yet, about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to spend the next 2 days just dealing with the Holy Spirit, the works and ministry of the Holy Spirit, power of the Holy Spirit, but also who is the Holy Spirit. So let me pray, and then we can start there. Father, we just thank you again for this time of worship where we can gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, worshiping you, the God of spirit and truth. Lord, we come humbly to your word this morning. We ask for your grace and mercy upon us. We ask that you would speak to us, Lord, that you would help us to understand your scripture. And Lord, as we dive into your word, we want to say thank you for it. Thank you for giving us the holy word of God, the scriptures, the very truth that we can rely on. And so we pray as we learn from you this morning, we pray that it would be so and that you would help us to understand you in a deeper way. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. John 15, and what I want to do is just take a moment to remind us of what Jesus has said. And you don't have to turn there yourself. I just want to remind you of John 15, right in verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Verse 4, he says, remain in me or abide in me, and I also in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then he goes through the discourse, if you remember correctly. He talks about him being the true vine, that the power of the very nature of God is not being connected to Israel, but being connected to Jesus Christ. And that the goal or the outcome of the believer is to always stay connected to Christ Jesus. But there's a problem that's about to occur. One, he's leaving. And he won't be with you anymore. He's telling the disciples, I won't be with you. So he starts to begin to give him instructions, and I'll just give it to you thematically. Number one is to make sure that love abounds in your life for one another. And there's a reason for that, is because persecution is coming, not may coming, but is coming upon the church of Christ. At some point, the enemy will not care which denomination is which. The enemy does not care about how we are segmented by whatever it is that we doctrinally believe. If we profess the name of Jesus Christ, we will find some form of persecution. And so he tells the church, hear me well, he tells the church, you need to love one another because you're going to need one another, because when the onslaught of the enemy comes, you will desperately need one another. And the question is then, how do we support one another? And we can understand from Scripture is there are two ways, in my opinion, there are two ways that the believer helps one another in the work of the Holy Spirit. One is to prophesy over one another. And let me explain what that means, because that's got some kind of weird rap over the years, because it's just been thrown about. And I'm going in this route because it's also destroyed, to a certain degree, it's destroyed our understanding of the Holy Spirit, which I hope to correct from Scripture. The other way we help one another is by praying for one another in the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that a little bit more today and tomorrow. You follow me so far, yeah? And so Jesus tells them, when the enemy comes, here's what I'm going to do for you. I mentioned this yesterday, right? I said there's a cliffhanger to this whole story, because John chapter 15 is just the middle of a sandwich that starts in 14. and ends actually in 17. And so John chapter 15 is right in that middle where Jesus is encouraging the church to trust in him. And so when we talk about the work of the Spirit, one of which being prophecy, prophecy has nothing to do with telling the future. And prophecy, it literally, when you define the word, it means to profess. It means to communicate and to profess out loud something. And what is that something that we profess? It is the word of God over someone. Not your opinions and feelings, folks. I think we have destroyed the ministry of Christ by sending people into the ministry who really should not have been there because someone decided to tell them, because they were really good at reading the Bible, that God has a purpose for them, and they prophesied their feelings over that person, and they believe it. But prophecy has nothing to do with your feelings. How do I know this? If I have the time, I'll get to it, but I probably won't. But if you get a chance, jot this down. Ezekiel 37 gives you, you know, the dry bone story? We get caught up in the fact that the bones raise. You need to pay attention to two things that happen in that passage, what the Spirit tells him to do, and then what he does. The Spirit tells him, prophesy over the bones. And then the Spirit tells him, say these things. And then Ezekiel says exactly what the Spirit says, and the bones comes to life. It's never Ezekiel's words. It is the power of the Word of God. This is important for us to understand. Or we'll start running around and go, I feel. You ain't feel nothing. Tell him what the Scripture says. Do you follow? And because of that, we've lost the essence of what the Holy Spirit is all about. Let me move a little bit further. So Jesus is telling them, you need to love one another. And another way to do that is through prayer. It's through prayer. The enemy will tell you a lot over and over, because he tells me, and I've seen that he tells other people this, do not tell people what you're going through. But you have to understand that if we love one another, we can trust one another. And if we can trust one another, we can trust one another's burdens upon one another. Therefore, we can raise these burdens to the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. You keep it to yourself, it will be by yourself. And you'll deal with it all alone. Let me tell you, God gives you stuff that you need other people to lift it up with. I gave a great example of this one time. I was teaching at a church. I brought in this giant log. And, I didn't bring it in. I asked that they would. And I picked up the log, and I said, this is our burden. And it's right here, and I told this one guy, I put his name on it, and I said, hey, I need you to drag your burden around the whole day. And so he thought to himself, well, this is nuts. And I told him to pick it up and drag it around. And he lifted, he couldn't move it for nothing. I said, what do you need? He says, I need, okay, let's go back to the Scripture. That's a good point. Let's go back to the Scripture for a moment, because I want to show you something. When the persecution descends upon the church, Jesus gives us this warning. He tells us in verse 26, if you would go there, John 15, 26. When the advocate comes, I will send to whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. It's an interesting word he uses there. It is not the name of the Holy Spirit, but it's a term that Jesus has given to the Spirit of God. It's the word advocate. Interesting word, because it can be translated in multiple ways. Comforter, counselor, same word. You already got advocate. Helper, another one. The Greek word for it is parakletos or paraclete. We've heard that word before. It means someone that comes up next to you or walks alongside you or carries you along. You capture this imagery for a moment? But it is a legal term. It is not counselor in the sense of, and I just want to make sure we clarify this, it is not counselor in the sense of, I'm having a bad day and I need someone to counsel me like a licensed mental health professional. That's not the definition. It means that you are going to be, hear me really well, because this is really interesting, this is deep thought for a moment. You are going to be placed on trial. you are going to be tested. If you're not being tested now, it's a coming. This is like so prophetic. You are going to be tested. And when your time of testing comes, you will not be strong enough to fight. If I want to understand and receive the Holy Spirit, I must be placed in a position of humility. Can I just tell you, humble people are the church. Proud people, good. I pray for you, because you won't get the message. And sometimes what God does is he whittles people down like sharpening a pencil until it gets real small. And some of us, he whittles us down till we realize that we cannot fight the battle on our own, whatever that battle may be. For us to know Jesus, we have to be in a humble state. We have to be humble. I'm not saying that it's a choice. You will be humbled. You will. And sometimes that humbling can come right from your own household. It could even be your kids to remind you you're not that great of a dad, or you're not that great of a mom. You're going to need the Holy Spirit if you're going to raise me. Right? I mean, I'm going to be a teenager. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be in disbelief of everything you say for at least the next 5 to 7 years, maybe longer. I'm going to resist the heck out of you. Everything you tell me to do, I will find another way because my friends are so much better. And Ma, I'm going to tell you right now, there ain't no whooping that's strong enough for you to resist the power of my resistance. You are going to need the Holy Spirit. But you say, you know what? I know how to do it. I could raise you. I don't need anything. And all of a sudden, they go the wrong way. And where do you find yourself? On your knees at the side of the bed asking God to save their soul. Come on now. Ain't that the truth? Right? If you're going to know the Holy Spirit, you can't walk into the presence of God with arrogance. You can with confidence, but not with arrogance. God always places us in a state of humility. And he tells these disciples, I mean, it's so hard to hear it, but he tells these disciples that a time is coming real soon where you're going to be so oppressed, you're going to need someone to be your attorney. Someone's going to have to fight for you. Someone's going to have to give you the words. Someone is going to have to remind you of Jesus Christ. And there are going to be moments where because of your testimony, you will die for it, but you will not be alone. And that's the Holy Spirit. If you're going to remain in Jesus Christ, I want you to hear this well, because this is the power of the disciple. If you're going to stay and remain and abide in Jesus Christ, you are going to be in a place of humility where you are going to need the Holy Spirit. Now, with that said, we need a definition. He is called the Holy Spirit. Two words, holy. Holy. There is no sin, there's no impurity, but holiness demands the believer to recognize that they are sinners and does not deserve to be in the presence of Almighty Holy God. That is holy. You're like, I want the Holy Spirit to be upon me. No, you should say, Holy Spirit, I don't deserve to have you anywhere near me. If we only could have the attitude of the centurion, right? I can't have you in my house, is what he said. I don't deserve to have you in my house. I don't even deserve to be in your presence. But if you say the word, right? I mean, come on now, listen to me carefully. holy in the name Holy Spirit means we do not deserve to even have the Spirit in us. And so if we want to receive the Holy Spirit, the first thing we have to do is repent. Repent. Because he's holy. He's holy. You know, it's interesting when the disciples ask Jesus, teach us how to pray. The first thing he wants them to recognize is that God's name is holy. Hallowed be his name means holy is his name. Recognize that God is holy, and that you and I are so far from him. We're so distant from God, even in our greatest moment, even in our highest moment, when we go to the conference and everything is amazing and wonderful and the music is on point, the preaching is on point, and we feel the move of the Spirit, we are still so distant from God because he is holy. I was asked by a friend of mine, you know, what have you learned now since your injury? And I said, "I, the more I draw closer to Jesus, the more I feel like I shouldn't. And the more, and I'm not saying that to like it's a Christian thing, really. Honestly, there are moments I'm just angry. I'm angry to, you can't imagine. The things that go through my mind are ungodly. I'm just being honest with you. And the more I stay in this state and the more I'm alone, the more I realize, wow, I so don't deserve to be speaking the word of God. I mean, the words out my mouth may be nice, but the words in my head, I doubt I'm the only one in the room that feels this way. You know, my kids one day said, you know, my father never curses. And then one day I said, but in my head, though. Because there are moments. I remember one time I had to go for a video interview with another pastor. He wanted to interview me after my surgery and kind of wanted me to talk to Christians about what it means to go through hardship. I'll never forget the moment I'm heading over to the church, right? I'm ready to pop out the house, wheel around, and get over to the church. And my iPad, I wheeled out and I said, oh, my iPad. Oh, all right. Let me turn around and go get it. And it was so simple, man. The iPad was on the other side of the bed. But I need you to understand something. For me to get the iPad, I now had to remove the arm of the chair. Then put the arm away and then raise my body and transfer from the chair to the bed, which takes all of your upper body. Then but it's so far on the other side of the bed, right? Then I have to get on the bed, reach my hands under my legs, do this rocking thing, to throw my legs onto the bed, to roll over to get the iPad. When I realized where it was, the most ungodly words showed up in my head. I was so mad. I was so mad. And I wasn't mad at myself. I wasn't mad at God. I was just mad. You ever just angry? You know what I mean? And you just, and I'm sitting there and I'm just, why, Lord, do you do this? Why? Oh. And then my little girl, my middle one, Soraya, she walks in, and Soraya is like, Dad, you all right? Then, of course, like any dad would, because you don't want to show that anger kind of to your kids. I'm like, I'm good. And I said, could you listen to me now? Hey, sweetheart, could you just grab the iPad on the other side of the bed for me, please? Why was that so hard? Because the truth of the matter is I hate being in a humble state. I hate being in a humble state. I've pastored my church now for 9 years, and can I tell you, there are a lot of things I did on my own strength. A lot of abilities that God has blessed me with, and I did it without even asking for permission. Because in my head, I'm like, of course we should support that missionary. I don't need to ask for permission from God. Only to have things blow up in my face to learn the humility of asking for help. I need an advocate. He tells these disciples, you're going to need some help. Why? Yeah, greater is he in me than he that's in the world, but you need to understand he that's in the world is not a weakling. Satan is not this petty kind of thief that breaks into your house just to steal your really shiny jewelry. He wants to burn the whole house down with you in it. And if you don't have an advocate to give you a way out of the fire, you're going to suffer. God is holy, though. And the more I know Jesus, the more I realize how far away I am from him, but how close he is to me. God is holy. God is holy. But then he's also called Spirit. Interesting word, because the truth of the matter is we actually don't know what the Spirit is. Did you know that? And TV messed us up, man. It's made it as a ghost with a sheet. That's not it. We have no idea what a spirit is. The best definition we have is by the name pneuma, which literally means an exhale. It's a breath. And yet, even with that said, we have no idea what that means. But he is the, in another way, it's almost like he's the holy breath of God. Now, I want to be clear, we're not saying he is God's actual breath. It's just that there's no corporealism to him. He's not a body, but he does have God attributes because he is God. He is always present. He is all-powerful. We know that. And He is omniscient. Who knows the mind of God but the Spirit? And so he is the Holy Spirit defined here. He is the advocate and the counselor. And he says these things, the scripture says these things here, that he is sent from the Father. He is the Spirit of truth who goes from the Father. And watch this. He will tell you, he will testify about me, Jesus. And what he'll do is he'll reveal, and this is important for us to capture, he will reveal Jesus Christ to you as he is in you. And he'll never leave you. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are promised with the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is a seal. And listen to me now. You may feel like God's not with you. There may be silence in your life that makes you feel like God's with you, but the Spirit of God never, ever leaves you. And therefore, what's really challenged is not your feelings, but your belief in the actual Word of God. So a better prayer to say is, God, I don't feel like you're with me, but I know. I know. And God, I sinned today. I messed up today. I don't feel forgiven. I don't feel like I deserve you. But that is because I just recognize that you're holy. Because that's what the holiness will do. You'll sin and go, God, I messed up today. And I feel like I don't even know what to say to you. But I do know now, I recognize that you are holy. But I also know that you haven't left. You haven't left. Let me go a little further. If you're with me, follow along. John chapter 14. I want to show you something there. 14 verse 15. Because he gives you more instructions. And this precedes John 15's talk, right? But he says in John 14 verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you. How long? Forever, ever? Like, forever. How long is forever? It's a long time. Right? Be with you forever. And then he defines him again, the Spirit of truth. Watch this. The world cannot accept him because he neither I'm sorry, the world cannot accept him. By the way, did you catch the him? Not an it. Because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be where? In you. Skip down to verse 24. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will what? Teach you all things. You don't know everything yet. You don't know everything yet. You know, the Apostle Paul died and he still didn't know everything yet. You don't know everything yet, but the Spirit will teach you all things. And watch this. And remind you of everything I have said to you. By the time we get to John chapter 15 into 16, what will happen is there's a transference from the Father being in Jesus, Jesus in the Father, to the disciples being in Jesus, Jesus being in the disciples, and then it will move on to us being in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit being in us, which will cause, therefore, for the word of Jesus Christ here to not just apply to the disciples, but to also apply to us. I love this. Jump over to John chapter 16. We'll talk a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. Let me share with you what it says. John chapter 16, right in verse 6. 16:6. It says, rather you are filled with grief because I have said these things. Why? Because Jesus' crucifixion is coming very soon, and within 24 hours of this conversation, by the way. In verse 7 of chapter 16, verse 7, it says this, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, watch that word again, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. But when he comes, watch, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, about sin, because people do not believe in me. But righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, do you realize I keep emphasizing the he and the him? Because people start thinking in some churches that the Holy Spirit is this force or this supernatural power, like this laser beam energy that comes from God. This is a person who, quite frankly, has feelings, because you can grieve him. We'll get more into that another time. Anyway, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will, notice the second thing, guide you into all truth. Do you notice truth keeps popping up? He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And so constantly the Holy Spirit in us reveals Jesus Christ. Yeah, I heard someone say it the other day. If you don't hear Jesus in the conversation, it's heresy. And the Spirit constantly reveals and convicts and teaches us more about Jesus Christ in the Word of God. So if you feel like, well, you know, I think God wants me to do this or that, well, go confirm it in the Word, because the Spirit is speaking the words of Christ. But Pastor, I feel like, you know, I feel led to do so and so. Man, I praise the Lord. The Spirit is leading you to the words of Jesus Christ. Show me where Jesus Christ is confirming what God has placed in your heart. Do I have to do that? Yes, that's what he says. It's the Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth. Why does this matter? Why does this matter? We need the Holy Spirit. That's why it matters. And I'll just be honest with you. we are not going to, let me be honest this way. It is hard to be a Christian. It is. There are moments that it is fun. There are moments that it is just exciting, but you're going to leave here. You're going to leave here. You're cocooned in Christ on this property, but you're going to leave here and go back to normality and all the maladies of normality. You're going to be tried and you're going to be tested. You're going to go back to work. You're going to deal with issues and challenges in your life and in your family, and you're going to pray, and you're going to talk to the Lord, and you're going to fight, and you're going to struggle. And I want to encourage you, just be honest with God. God, I need you. I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you, Holy Spirit. Before you get into the charisma of what the Spirit can do, talk about the fact that He's holy, and God, I need your holy presence on my life. I know the Holy Spirit is in me, the Holy Spirit. I need direction. I need to be led by the Spirit and not led by just my feelings or be led by my friends. I need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Spirit, I need you, because I'm not going to make it through the sermon without you, and I'm not going to make it through this day without you, and I'm not going to make it without you, because I realize, God, that you have placed me in a position of humility. And now I am humbled, and I just learned today that no matter how hard I try my own strength, it will never be as great as yours. Maybe God has placed people on your heart whose heart have not turned. And you know why? Because the Spirit has not turned their heart. They need the Holy Spirit too to convict them of sin. Otherwise, this was just a really fun place to go to. I went with you because you made me, but I really didn't want to go. Right? Had a great time, hung out with some fellas, and played some games. But what do we need? Man, pray for the Holy Spirit to touch their lives like the other people in the room. Because right now, they're resisting the Spirit of God. They don't know the wonders and the beauty of what it means to be in Christ. No eye has seen, and no ear has heard, and no mind can ever conceive what God has prepared for those who love Him. It is hard being a Christian, but let me tell you this. When the Spirit of God is in you, Jesus is right. You will do things that are far greater than what we have seen Christ do. Far greater. And I want to encourage you this morning to call upon the Lord for the Holy Spirit, to recognize who the Holy Spirit is and how much we need the Spirit of God because of what's coming and what is to come. But also that God would reveal His beauty and His wonder through the Holy Spirit for us to sometimes even feel in our own spirit what God has placed on our heart, to give us the ability and the Word of God to speak over to someone and over someone's life. And say, this is the word that God has placed in me. It comes from Psalm chapter 86. And I want to read this over your soul right now in Jesus' name. That's what we need more in our church. Can I tell you the truth? We need more of the Holy Spirit in our church convicting us to follow Jesus Christ. So let's just take a moment now to just pray. And by the way, tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit more about the Holy Spirit, but more about the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit. But let's pray right now. We're just going to recognize the holiness of God. And we're just going to pray, Lord, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for the truth of the Scripture and the truth of the Spirit of God. We pray now in Jesus' name that you fill us up with more of your Spirit. That, Lord, we would draw closer to you and connect with you in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. First of all, Lord, recognizing that you are holy and we are not even close. And there's no reason for you to send an advocate for us. But God, in your love and your goodness and your kindness, you sent us, as the Word of God says, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we want to say as God's people, thank you this morning. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, place truth within us. Convict us of the truth of the Word of God. And allow us to know you, to follow you, to trust in you, to engage in you by no other means except through the Spirit of God, so that our worship would be just as you describe, in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for anyone in this room who is not following Jesus Christ right now, I pray in the name of Jesus that your Spirit will touch their soul and will draw them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That even right now they'll feel within their spirit, something isn't right and I need Jesus. And that they would believe in Christ. That they would confess their sins and repent. And then fall into the good hands of a loving God who loved them from birth even to this day. And that now would be welcomed into new light. I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would draw the sinner into salvation. And for the rest of us, Lord, we repent of the times we go astray and trust in our own strength. Lord, we now lean on you, our rock and our redeemer, and sometimes even our crutch. Lord, we need you to walk by faith. So that promised Holy Spirit that you put on us, Lord, I pray that you do a mighty thing in us today. Today, Lord, we ask. So the church says yes. Yes, Lord, we're going to walk by faith in you today. Yes, Lord, we're going to trust in the Spirit of truth today. Yes, Lord, we're going to worship you every single moment of this day, Lord. And we're going to give you our all in all. In Jesus' name, the church says, amen.